Abner, will you come over here and help me put this sign on the door?
Why, sure, Lum.
Just hold this nail in place while I whack it with a hammer.
For quiet, homespun humor with a country flavor, I think you have to turn to Lum and Abner as the foremost example. In fact, I can't think of anything on television today that has captured this particular kind of format. The comedy was comfortable and funny.
Lum, suppose you hold a nail in place while I whack it with a hammer.
You think I'm crazy?
Trouble here is we're suffering from an oversupply of whackers.
Have you ever seen me hit anybody on the thumb with a hammer?
Yes. Last summer when Opie Cates helped you put up the screens.
That was just a little tap.
Tap? You smacked that thumb so flat it looked like he's carrying around a pancake flipper.
Why, he didn't even holler.
He let out such a beller, all the fellas at the sawmill knocked off for lunch.
You stop exaggerating and hold that nail, Granny.
Lom, you couldn't hit that nail no matter if your whole life depended on it.
Oh, now be quiet.
Huh?
Just
this hold... is my page-flipping finger here, Lom. Be
just
careful.
Just hold the nail in place. Okay, here goes. How was that?
Not bad. Just aim it 2 more feet to the left, and I think you'll have it.
Yes, the trouble is the top of the nail is too small.
You couldn't drive that nail if I stuck it in between my teeth and let you hit me on the back of the head.
Don't give me any ideas. Now, just hold it in place. This time, I'll keep my eyes open.
Good. I think one of us ought to know what's going on.
You ready now?
Yeah.
Here it goes.
Oh, you idiot. Why don't you watch what you're doing?
Abner Peabody, I didn't even touch that hand.
I know you didn't. You got the one I had in my pocket.
One of the most nostalgic names in the American theater came to radio and leaped to success with the devilish character she created. Her career has been portrayed on Broadway in the smash musical Funny Girl. Who else but Fanny Brice as Baby Snooks?
I was just trying to help you, Dad.
Why must you torment me this way? Why can't you just leave me alone when I feel like playing the piano?
Because I want to play, too.
You don't know how to play.
I can lay.
Oh. Do you really mean that, Snooks?
Yes, Dad.
Because nothing would please me more. And if I teach you to play, will you practice faithfully every day?
Mm-hmm.
All right, darling. Sit here beside me. Who knows? You may turn out to be a child prodigy.
Who knows?
Now, before I give you the first lesson, suppose we try to find out just how much natural ability you have.
How?
Well, see if you can pick out a tune. Whatever music comes into your head.
All right. Bye, baby.
All right, all right. We can forget the prodigy business right now.
Shall I play some more, Daddy?
No. Pay a little attention, Snooks. There are 7 major musical notes in the scale.
Where's the scale?
Right here. Now listen. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, A. See this note? That's A.
A what?
A nothing. A is just its name. Now what comes after A?
B.
And what comes after E?
F.
Good. What comes after G?
Whiz.
Snooks.
I was only fooling, Daddy.
All right. What comes after G?
H.
No. After G, you start all over again with A. Now. A. What note is this?
H.
No! Didn't you hear me singing it? It's
well,
A.
Well, it sounded like A.
When the Longines Symphonette Society first suggested that we create this treasury of golden moments from radio, Mary Livingston and I spent many evenings reliving some of our own radio broadcasts. We came across this one I thought you might like.
All right, Mary, read me your mother's letter.
Okay. My darling daughter, Mary, just a note to let you know that we are all well. Although I must say that this being election year, your father and I have been having our usual political arguments. As you know, I'm a Republican and he's a Democrat. I wear a button that says I like Ike, and your father's been wearing a coonskin cap. He thought it was a coonskin till this morning when it had kittens.
No kidding.
Well, Mary, at last... Well, Mary, at last I have some good news for you. We're finally getting rid of your Aunt Emily.
Well, it's about time. She's been living with your family as long as I can remember.
For the past 2 years, your Aunt Emily's been going with the local undertaker. And next Sunday, they're getting married. I'm glad when they get a home of their own. I'm tired of them coming in here every night with those secondhand flowers.
God.
Right now, she's wearing a ribbon in her hair that says, Rest in Peace.
Your mother.
But even though he's an undertaker, he's very progressive, and he's the only one in town with a convertible hearse.
A convertible hearse? No.
No other news.
Well, your mother is a humdinger today.
No other news, so we'll close with love, Mama. P.S. Just as I was getting ready to seal this envelope, the postman came with your check for Mother's Day. Mary, this was very thoughtful of you. But how you could send me that much money on the salary Jack pays you, I'll never know.
Mary, how much did you send her?
$4.
Can you remember the day you bought your first automobile? I can remember driving mine home, for I had my friend Mel Blanc with me. Mel and I still work together, and I still have the Maxwell. Isn't that amazing? Mel Blanc, the man of 1,000 voice characterizations. And speaking of characters, there's still another graduate of radio around today. And I do mean around every Army, Navy, and Air Force base in the world. The old ski-nose himself, Bob Hope.
Thank you, fellas. No whistling. We'll have the place loaded with dogs. Thank you very much. Thank you. Well, here we are at the Pasadena Army Service Forces Regional Hospital. That's an ambulatory phrase, meaning don't step out the back door, Joe. It's a 100-foot drop to the sewer. Yes, sir, I've done a couple of shows in hospitals recently. I feel so much safer when there's a doctor close by. And this is a wonderful spot for a hospital. When a battle fatigue case comes in, and they can't calm them down and make them sleepy the usual way, they just give them a pass to go into Pasadena. Pasadena, that's a town where the curfew goes on at 12 noon. No, but I want to tell you, it's a great place to live. Pasadena is a very quiet town. In fact, every time a soldier takes a walk, the Chamber of Commerce appoints a man to follow behind him in oil his GI shoes. Somebody ought to oil my tongue for a while. And Pasadena is really a ritzy town. They're so fussy here, the mayor meets the Greyhound buses at the city limits with a can of flea powder. So ritzy, I put a nickel in the Pasadena jukebox to play one meatball, and it came out one caviar croquette. I saw one beautiful rich debutante here this afternoon, though. Boy, she was really loaded. She had money, too. But these soldiers aren't impressed with the local register here in Pasadena. When they go out with a girl, they don't care about who's who. They want to know what's what. This hospital used to be a hotel called the Vista del Arroyo. That's a Spanish term meaning, why, Sergeant, the young lady was just admiring my cast, and we got so engrossed, we must have strolled into Hollywood without knowing yet.
Back around 1948, television was beginning to gain in stature. The stars were still the property of radio, but it was obvious a change was in the wind. Fred Allen was already making plans. and he revealed those plans on his show one evening when a gatecrasher joined him for a sequence that requires all of your imagination.
Benny was born ignorant, and he's been losing ground ever since. Benny was doing a monologue with a pig on the stage. The pig was there to eat up the stuff the audience threw at Benny. Why, some weeks he used two pigs. Benny is the only guy in New York who has to bounce his nickels for the manager before they let him in the automat. Who would be low enough to sneak into a tour to save 60 cents?
There's the guy. Hey, you!
Who, me?
Jack, how can you be so cheap?
All right, go ahead. Be like the other radio comedians. Tell some cheap joke. I won't even eat in the sun. My shadow might ask me for a bite.
Your shadow has teeth? Jack, now look. Jack, don't get excited. Look, if you're cheap, you're cheap.
That's the way I look at it.
Look, Jack, if there ever was a time that you and I should not argue, this is the time.
What do you mean, this is the time?
Well, haven't you heard? A lot of the radio programs that have been on for many years have been canceled. By the way, you finished tonight, didn't you?
Yes, sirree. Tonight was my last show of the season.
Did your sponsor mention anything about your program coming back in October?
Well, no, Fred, but we have a mutual understanding. You see, we always sort of take it for granted.
Oh.
The season ends, the sponsor shakes hands with me, and then we... Yipe!
Jack, what's wrong?
Tonight he didn't shake hands.
Cheer up, Jack. When you're retired, you can tune in on my new show.
New show?
People don't want entertainment today. A radio show has to give away things. Nylons, iceboxes, automobiles.
You mean to stay on the air, you have to give things away?
Yes.
I'll die first.
Well, not me. I'm auditioning my new program tonight.
And you're giving things away?
Tons of stuff.
Well, Fred, as long as I'm here in the studio...
Oh, no, I'm sorry, Jack. Professional people cannot participate. It's a rule.
But don't you ever find people on these programs changing their names to get something for nothing?
Well, occasionally we do catch a phony, but we're on the air. What can we do?
Hmm.
Now, Mr. Allen, we're ready for your audition.
I'll run along, Fred. So long.
So long, Jack.
Giving away things for nothing.
Well, all right, let's try out my new show.
Here he is, the man who will change one of you nobodies into king for a day, the old kingmaker himself, Red Allen.
Thank you. Thank you. And here is our first eager contestant. Your name, sir?
Myron Proudfoot.
Myron Proudfoot? You look like a chap I know.
I'm not interested in your friends. Start giving things away, brother.
What is your occupation, Mr. Proudfoot?
I'm a chaplain in a bakery.
What does a chaplain do in a bakery?
I put wings on angel cake.
How long have you been in the cake business, Mr. Proudfoot?
Long enough to know a crumb when I see one.
Now, don't get sarcastic, Mr. Proudleg.
The name is Proudfoot, and make with the question.
All right. Who was the sixth president of the United States?
John Quincy Adams.
John Quincy Adams is correct, and Mr. Myron Proudfoot is king for a day. Well, Your Majesty, how do you feel?
Never mind how I feel. What do I get?
Immediately after this program, Your Majesty will be guest of honor at a banquet at Hamburger Heaven. Tomorrow morning, through the courtesy of the Sanitation Department, you will be guest conductor on the 11-5 garbage run through the Bronx. At night, in your ermine robe, you will be whisked by bicycle to Orange, New Jersey, where you will be the judge in a chicken cleaning contest.
I'm king for a day!
And that's not all.
There's more?
Yes, we are going to start right now to make you look like a king. Your suit is a little baggy, King. Boys, take His Majesty's coat off.
Wait.
On our stage, we have a Hoffman pressing machine.
Now, wait a minute.
An expert operating the Hoffman pressing machine will press your trousers.
Now, wait a minute.
Now, wait a minute, Alan.
little bet. I'll keep my shirt on.
We're a little late, folks. Tune in
now,
again.
Come on, Alan. Give me my pants.
Quiet, King.
Alan, this is a place. Where are my pants?
Benny, for 15 years I've been waiting to catch you like
Alan,
this.
Alan, you haven't seen the end of me.
It won't be long now.
I want my pants.